Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorced Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. If you're listening to this and you are thinking about divorce or you're going through one and you feel like maybe you might want to or have to sell your home, it can be extremely stressful. It can be sad. It can make you feel angry. It can make you feel overwhelmed with everything that goes into it. And so what I want to do on this podcast is take away a lot of your fears and anxiety, because half of your fear and anxiety is not knowing what to expect. So in this podcast, we're going to talk what to expect when you're selling your home in divorce. And to talk about that, I have two experts here. They are real estate agents. They're a team. One of them is Missy Gerfita, and the other one is Meredith Pearson. And they are two extremely experienced real estate agents that just formed a partnership, and they are a team, the Gerfita Pearson team. So hi, Missy, and hi, Meredith.
Hi.
Hi, Jackie.
So great to have you guys here, and thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having us.
So I want to start off, before we talk about what to expect when you are selling your home in divorce, that I have known Missy Gerfita for, Missy, I think 20 years.
Oh, my gosh. Crazy.
So we've been friends and known each other for 20 years. I have worked with Missy. I put my house on the market with Missy and then decided not to sell it after she did a ton of work and basically sold it for us. And then said on the side, Missy, I'm getting divorced. We're not selling the home. And I have to say, Missy, you just handled it with such class, and you were so understanding and so kind. And I never forgot it. And so we kind of became friends after that. Mm-hmm. And I have watched Missy grow her business immensely and become one of the most well-known real estate agents on Chicago's North Shore. So congrats.
Thank you.
And then I want to talk about Meredith. So when Missy decided she needed a partner and partnered with Meredith, Meredith, how long have you been a real estate agent?
6 years.
All right. So Meredith is a lovely person. We've been chatting before this podcast. And I know Missy would not have partnered with someone unless they were outstanding. So I am sure that I completely would trust Meredith as well. So I think with all your experience, you know, you can offer such wonderful advice. So tell me, you guys, in your experience, have you worked with a lot of couples who are divorced? And tell me how they are feeling when you go to look at the house. They're considering hiring you. You're kind of talking. Like, what's going on at that point?
I have worked with divorced families before, and usually when I meet them, it's sad at first. You know, they're not having me come in because they're selling to go to their next happy chapter, or they view it that way. They're coming in because it's something they have to do. And, you know, usually it's hard if kids are there as well. But in general, they tend to be quieter and just let me take in the house.
I would imagine also there's a lot of tension. You know, like both partners are there and, yes, you know that they're really not getting along and they're in the thick of this divorce or thinking about it. And so is it awkward?
I would say you hit it right on the head. It's very uncomfortable. There's a lot of stress, anxiety. They're scared. It's a big decision and they don't know what the next step is. You know, they have to leave their home. Where are they going? How are they going to sell and how are they going to buy and how are they going to make this work between them? I had a house that I had to meet with the wife upstairs and the husband in the basement and do two separate presentations. And I really believe in when we are talking to a family that is going through a divorce that the goal is to do a great job for both of them. I'm not on his side. I'm not on her side. I'm here to get top dollar for your house, make it easy for you, and make it quick. And that is our goal.
I hate to have these podcasts be negative, but obviously we're talking the truth. This is what really happens. But let's talk about the next steps, because what I want to tell my listeners is, while we're all talking and making this seem like it's going to be horrible, it isn't. So we'll talk at the end about how you've seen what happens and how people end up happy. But before that, I want to talk about, so let's say you have clients and they sign the agreement and then you put the house on the market. Tell me about what happens, like, with the showings. Does the couple take turns? Like, I'll clean the house for this showing. Like, how does that work?
I think it depends who's living in the house.
Right.
Just depends, you know, I would say most of the time one person is in the house. And that is the person who we usually communicate to regarding the showings. And we always, you know, give them plenty of time to get ready and accept that. But on in the same instance, the other partner is in the same loop on when the showings are. So I think the key thing is, when you're selling with a divorced couple, to keep the communication coming to both parties. Even though, you know, you'll send an email and copy the other spouse, and sometimes the spouse will only reply to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I will reply to both of them. So I just, you have to make sure it's super
everyone's
fair.
On the same page.
Absolutely.
Even if you're like, I never want to see another email from him again. You have to with this,
yes.
Right?
Right?
All right, let's talk about price. Have you had couples who are, one person is saying, I want to sell the house for $450, and then the other person's like, absolutely not. I'm not going under $500. So what happens then?
Absolutely. I think that's when it comes to really trusting your real estate broker and being reasonable. I think it can become emotional, especially depending on if someone is getting, one party's getting the funds from the asset and the other one is not, or someone's quick to want to move on because they're excited to go get their new home and maybe someone else isn't as excited. So I think as much as you can remove the emotions and just focus on the transaction, the better off you will be.
I could not agree more. And coming from someone who went through it, I definitely could see how people would become so emotional with price, and they would let their emotions, like, well, I'm not going to part with this house unless
right.
I get top dollar.
Right.
So you really have to weigh everything before you use emotions, because you might be losing out on something.
Yeah, I think you have to go, you really have to dig into the comparables, what is sold, what's under contract, and what your competition is. You got to go to the facts. In another idea would be, okay, so they're 50 grand apart. Let's utilize, let's go 495 on the private market and see what the activity is. Let's see if we get people reaching out to us. And then we reconvene in 2 weeks and just talk about, okay, we tried the higher price in the private market. So we're going to go on the market in next week. Do we want to adjust that or not? The other thing is, maybe you have a conversation with the husband and wife and say, okay, if it's not sold within 30 days, we all agree
yes.
for, you know, a 10% or 20% price adjustment, and you get it in writing. So there's no discussion. You have it in writing. Okay, we were having a call a month later. No activity. We've had a lot of showings, but we should have generated an offer. So therefore, this contract that we all signed, we all agreed we're going to reduce it by 20% or 10%. We're going to do that tomorrow.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, Missy Jerfita and Meredith Pearson, two great real estate agents who are now a team, the Jerfita Pearson team on Chicago's North Shore and in the city. And we are talking what to expect when selling your home in divorce. I want to move on to how to prepare the house for showings. So I would think that people get really attached, especially really emotional during a divorce. Like Meredith was saying, you know, they're not moving because they're so excited for their next home. They're in pain. They're in a lot of pain. So maybe there's a piece of furniture or something and they're like, I don't want to put these picture frames in a drawer because they mean a lot to me. And I, you know, they're thinking buyers will think they're nice, but let's talk about decluttering.
That's super important. That's a big, you know, staple in our process before we put it on the market. Because honestly, buyers don't want to see your family there. They really don't. You want to just look at when you go into model homes. You go into these model homes, they're really nicely decluttered. They look like a staged home. So pretty sells.
Yes.
And clutter doesn't. So whatever you can do before by, you know, getting rid of the clutter or a lot of the picture frames and tchotchkes and personalize it, it should be a little bit neutral.
And also if you have eclectic taste or like taste that is not neutral, you can't take it personally and you just have to say beige, whites, grays, those are all good neutral colors.
That's what sells. And I can tell you another thing about personal property. If there's a light fixture, if there is a mirror or anything attached to the house, normally stays with the house. So if there's something that the wife or husband wants, you need to exclude it in the listing when you're selling it.
All right. So what you're saying is go around the house before it's on the market, pick out anything that you really don't want to part with, whether it be furniture, light fixture, anything attached, and say right off the bat in the contract with the real estate agent, this is not going with the house.
I think furniture does not go with the house because it's not attached. But I think it could be definitely a sticking point between the husband and wife.
Yeah, I would think just so that you know your non-negotiables before you get to that point of negotiating. Because one party may say, yeah, have the outdoor furniture. We're not going to move it. But to the other party, they want to move it. They might have a condo that would fit that furniture or a new home. So I would just say it's best before, so that when the contract comes through, all you got to do is pack. Everything's been discussed and there's no questions.
Good point. And also, like, remember that everything's replaceable. So if you don't really love it, and I guess whatever you really, really know is personal and sentimental or something you really love, Meredith's right, get it in writing and just take it off the table. But then keep in consideration, I don't know if you guys agree with me, that everything really is replaceable.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. We are going to take a short break and we will be right back. If you are thinking about divorce or going through one and you're looking for a divorce attorney, I would highly recommend the firm of Katz & Stefani. Katz & Stefani is a Chicago and Bannockburn-based divorce law firm with 10 attorneys. I have known co-founder Dan Stefani for 20 years. He's a wonderful lawyer. And I also know a lot of the other attorneys at the firm. Each one has their own niche, and they're all, I have to say, smart, experienced, very professional, and they're just really, really great lawyers. You can find them on Divorced Girl Smiling under Trusted Partners or at katzstefani.com. I also want to mention Elaine Moss and Pete Mullins. Elaine and Pete are a team of financial advisors for Vestor Capital, which is a wealth management firm, and they do business in Chicago, but all over the country. And I have been a personal client of Vestor for, I would say, 8 years. And believe me when I tell you, the service is exceptional. They did a full financial plan for me. It changed my life. The investment piece has been wonderful and the service is so good. I would highly, highly recommend Vestor Capital. You can also find Vestor Capital on Divorced Girl Smiling under Trusted Partners or at vestorcapital.com. We are back. You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guests, Missy Jerfita and Meredith Pearson. Have I not said that yet?
No.
Oh, okay. And they are with Compass. And I can't believe I forgot to say that because Compass is a really good firm. So, sorry, guys. I wasn't even thinking. I kept thinking Jerfita Pearson team. And I forgot to mention that they are with like one of the top notch firms. All right. We're talking what to expect when selling your home in a divorce. So now we've gotten to the staging part, and then they start having these showings. Now, what happens when they get an offer? What have you seen as far as divorcing couples? Does it cause arguments? Are they over the top happy? Relief? What? All over the board?
It depends what the offer is.
Right.
If we get a low ball, it's a little bit harder of a conversation because there might be a person that's like, take it, I'm done. And because they're at peace and they're ready to move on, and there might be someone else that's not the case. So I think with each offer, it's good to maybe look at it together, bring both parties together, have a neutral party of the real estate agent explaining why they believe this is a good offer or not, and how they recommend moving forward so that it's not an argument between each party of, well, I think we should counter this, I think we should counter that. I would really consider what your broker thinks would be a fair second step.
The other thing is sometimes their attorneys are involved and they may have an agreement saying, okay, if we get an offer within 5% of asking price, we have to take it. Even one might not want to. And that's not saying we get a low offer, we roll over and take it. No, you negotiate it. You negotiate it hard. You find other people if there's other interests out there, and you try to get a second offer and you negotiate as hard as you can.
I think you bring up such a good point, because that if you have your attorneys agreeing and you agree by law, then there's nothing really to argue about, and you don't want to let a good offer go.
Right.
And you don't want emotion to cause you to do anything. So great point. I'm so glad. So you guys are definitely in tune with talking to divorce attorneys about this kind of stuff.
And you honestly want to shield all this chaos and negativity from the buyer's agent and the buyers. Because if you're going to buy a house, do you really want to know like all the turmoil
No.
and all the negativity and the bad juju out there in that house? You don't. So as a seller's agent representing the, you know, a divorce situation, you really want to shield it for the people buying it.
And it's none of their business.
It's not.
Well, and also I think it's kind of when people come in, young couples, and they buy a home, they don't even want to know. They don't care if it was a divorce. They're young. They think,
right.
You know, everything's perfect. They're just happy, and they don't even think about it. But I know to my listeners, you think about it, and I'm sorry if you are in pain, if you are upset about your house, if you are devastated, if you feel that you don't want to make a change like that and you're scared to move and you're comfortable. I totally get that. I hear you. You're validated. But let's get to the good news, which is what happens after the sale, and then you maybe help somebody find another place that with a less expensive mortgage or even a rental, and how happy these people become when they have this financial burden lifted off of them and they're out of this toxic marriage that they don't want to be in. Now you're in this cozy, happy place that is all yours.
I think the suggestion of a rental is great, because it's really hard when you're going through that process to make decisions and then to look into making more of a long-term decision, like buying another home. It gives you some time to process what happened and rent, and then really decide where you want to be. And I've had a lot of clients do that, and then they're really happy when they find the next home and they don't feel so rushed or forced.
That is such a great point, because if you rent, you're holding all the cards because you don't have to sell your home. You can wait for that perfect place to come up. You can wait as long as you want.
Yeah.
And leases can always be sublet or broken or whatever.
Absolutely.
I mean, not broke. Well, I'm not suggesting people just break your lease.
Right.
But I'm saying you can always sublet it or wait till it, you know, figure out the timing later. But it gives you so much more flexibility and freedom.
Right. And then on the other end, I just helped these two wonderful ladies after they got divorced, and they knew where they wanted to live. They knew they wanted to stay in the same school district. They wanted to stay closer to their ex, but they didn't want to rent because they knew rent is so high right now.
Right.
So they didn't want to rent, and they knew. And they, I got to tell you, what we found for them, we found a really darling home, probably about 2,100 square feet, but they love it because it's their own. And it's
divorced women moved in together?
Separate.
What was that show in the 70s where the two women were divorced and they moved in together with their kids?
Is it the Golden Girls?
No. Should I
edit
that?
One day at a time? Edit that out.
One day? No, but that was...
Okay, I don't know. Right. But what I'm saying is these two ladies, two separate families, and once we got them settled, and they were scared. It's scary. It's, you know, because they don't know how to divorce, and it was very, you know, it just wasn't a good situation. And once we pulled them through, they are so happy, and they're calm, and they're happy, and they're not as stressed. And it's the best thing. They couldn't see through the trees.
For sure. And they're still grieving their divorce. And let me tell you something, as someone who went through a divorce, change is so hard for people.
Mm-hmm.
Change is uncomfortable. It is scary. It is just, it gives you anxiety. And so even... And moving and packing up all your stuff and moving your kids to a new school district, maybe, or just into a new house, that is some serious stress.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to the new place and get settled in, first of all, a couple things. I lived in the same place for 17 years and I wasn't sure if I could move. I was like, I'm not sure if I can even do this because I've become so complacent in my home. I know where everything is. How am I going to change my address? Well, okay, you go to the post office and you change it. It was not a big deal. And I really felt empowered after I moved because I was like, wow, that wasn't even half as hard as I thought. So I hope people listening know that I'm sitting here as a divorced person. Also, I want to bring up the fact that Meredith is divorced. And so we understand how hard it is.
Absolutely.
And how attached emotionally you can get to a home.
I will say, though, once I moved, I loved my new home. I felt so excited. It was, I had a one-year-old son at the time, which was a challenge. But it was like, okay, this is me. I'm doing it. I can do this. And I have my new memories and I got new artwork and it was a happy place for me. So it's just getting yourself to that point and seeing that there's going to be many other chapters that are going to be great.
You guys, this has been so wonderful. Before we close out, I want to bring up one other thing. Do you ever see people who have never gotten a mortgage before? It's always been like them with their husband, and now they have to get it themselves. Because that was me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so tell me about that. Isn't that kind of empowering to people after it's all done?
Well, usually you're buying your first home with a spouse, or it depends on the person. Nowadays, like girl power, I see a lot of young women buying their own condos, which are fantastic, but that's a scary process. Can I do this on my own? Can I afford a mortgage? And the answer is you absolutely can. It's just having those educational conversations.
And you're going to feel so great because your debt is not attached to your ex. And maybe he or she wasn't that great with money. And this is now all in your control. You don't have to worry about being on it with someone else. Great.
And we're here to guide.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we want them to succeed and feel their power back and get on their feet. And we love to see them smile and have their confidence back.
All right. We are going to leave you guys with three tips on selling your home during divorce. Go ahead. Tip number one.
Okay. I'll do tip number one. I would say, number one, be open to your agent's suggestions. Just be open, both of you. Maybe just have a pack saying, I know this is how you feel. I know this is how I feel. Let's just sit down and listen. Because her goal is to help us sell our home for top dollar.
And I can say, I have known Missy for so long. And really, Missy, you are an amazing agent. I mean, I know we're friends also, but I've seen you professionally, and Missy gets as excited about a house as she did her first one when I was first meeting her. I mean, you really do. And Meredith, just like by talking to you even just today, you seem like you have such a passion for this, and you can really relate to divorced people.
Absolutely. It makes me feel empowered. I would love to, like, give back and help someone and say, it's going to be okay. This is going to be great.
Yes.
We'll get through it. Did you ever realize, like, you worry about everything and then all the things you worried about never came to be, and all that energy?
Yes.
Less than 1% of what you worried about will come true.
I believe that. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
So, all right, tip number two.
Tip number two. We kind of touched on this already, but discuss personal property in advance. So you know I love that light fixture. Make sure everyone knows I want to take that from the dining room. And
make sure it's excluded from the contract.
It's excluded from the contract. And also be open. So identify maybe those few items that are very sentimental to you so that you're both on the same page, that like one spouse will take this and the other spouse will take the other.
All right, and tip number three.
Do not use your house to get back at your spouse.
Which is so true, because it's such a power struggle sometimes, and it's really not about the house or doing the right thing. It's about hurting the other person.
Absolutely.
And which so is our, so sad.
Which ends up hurting everyone.
It does. So if you could just kind of focus on the task at hand and not use that as a, you know, a power's play.
You guys, thank you so much for taking time to do this with me. It was so wonderful to talk with you and hear your tips and your advice. And tell my listeners how to reach you.
So yeah, so feel free to reach us at 847-813-7700, or feel free to reach us at, it's either Missy@JerfitaPearson.com
or Meredith at JerfitaPearson.com.
And I also want to tell people that if you go online and everything hasn't been changed yet, you might see the Jerfita team. It's the same person.
Yes.
So, because that was for a long time. So that might take a while to get off of the internet. So,
exactly.
Yes. All right. Well, what to expect when selling your home in divorce? Expect that after all of your pain and your sadness and your sentimental feelings and your fear is all going to turn to empowerment and lots of happy times ahead and a wonderful future if you make good choices and you're patient and you have some faith. So thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to listen to more podcasts or read articles or watch videos or find other wonderful trusted resources, visit divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you real soon.